All right, so today we're taking a deep dive into a world shrouded in mystery, a world where ancient texts, they hold forbidden knowledge, and reality, it kind of blurs with the supernatural. We're talking about Alice Eve.
Alazif, yeah, the book's been the most dangerous in the world.
And what I find so captivating about Alice Eve is how it's woven itself into the fabric of like the internet age, you know? It's like this digital ghost story that is constantly being like reshaped and reinterpreted.
Right, with every like online post or forum discussion.
Exactly. And we've got this chilling audio clip from one such discussion that really sets the stage for this deep dive. We're also going to reference some excerpts about this 19th century Yemeni poet named Hassan al-Mansur,
Interesting.
whose life become very much intertwined with Alice Eve and met a rather unfortunate end. So I think of us as your guides through this like labyrinth of information.
I like it.
Our mission, if you will, is to separate fact from fiction, analyze the evidence, and maybe, just maybe, get a little closer to the truth behind this elusive and potentially dangerous book.
Sounds good. Let's get started.
Okay, let's cue that audio clip.
All right.
Wow, that audio clip does not pull any punches, does it? It paints a very disturbing picture of this book that can't be destroyed. This book that's tied to ancient black magic and this trapped djinn.
Yeah, I mean, they use some very powerful imagery, wouldn't you say, to emphasize the idea that this book has like endured for centuries. It's defying all attempts to erase it.
Right.
That alone would make anyone think twice about even taking a peek inside.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely sets the creepy mood. But before we get too swept up in the spookiness of it all, let's take a step back. What do we actually know about the origins of Alice Eve?
Well, the sources, they kind of place the book's creation somewhere in the 8th century.
Eighth century, okay.
It's said to be filled with all this dangerous rituals and forbidden knowledge. It's the kind of stuff that would make even the bravest soul think twice before, seeking it out.
Hold on, forbidden knowledge. What exactly are we talking about here? Give us the specifics.
Well, the specifics, unfortunately, are pretty vague. The lore surrounding Alice Eve claims that it contains instructions on how to contact and even control djinn.
Ah, okay, so we're talking about the djinn. I was wondering when they'd make an appearance. You know, for those listening who might not be as familiar with Islamic tradition, could you give us a little more background on djinn?
Absolutely. In Islam, djinn are these supernatural beings, often described as being created from smokeless fire. They exist in this world as parallel to our own, and they have the ability to, interact with humans, sometimes with good intentions, sometimes with not so good intentions.
So not exactly your friendly wish-granting genie, then.
Not quite. Djinn are, they're much more complex. They're a powerful entity. And the idea that Alice Eve might contain the secrets to controlling them, that's really where this dangerous label starts to take hold.
Okay, so we've got this in ancient texts, forbidden knowledge, and powerful djinn. It definitely sounds like a recipe for disaster. But where does Hassan Mansur fit into all of this?
Well, Hassan's story, this is where things get really interesting. He was this 19th century Yemeni poet who claimed to have discovered a copy of Alice Eve. And he became completely absorbed by this book, like spending months studying its contents.
Wow.
There are accounts of him performing a ritual described within its pages, a ritual that supposedly went horribly wrong.
Okay, wait, hold up, hold up. Before we go any further down that rabbit hole, I have to ask, is there actually any evidence that Alice Eve even exists? Or is this all just a spooky internet legend like Slender Man or the Momo Challenge?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Right.
The truth is, there's no concrete evidence that Alice Eve is anything more than a fictional creation.
Okay.
It's more likely a piece of internet lore that's just captured the imaginations of people all over the world.
But why would someone create such a story? What's the purpose of spreading a rumor about this dangerous book?
Okay, so here's where things get a little meta. Remember those visual reels you've probably seen circulating on Instagram and Facebook about Alice Eve?
Yeah.
Well, the creator's actually a friend of ours.
No way.
And let's just say they have a real talent for storytelling, maybe even a bit of a penchant for embellishing the truth for entertainment's sake.
So you're saying there's a chance that this whole thing is a carefully constructed online mystery?
It's a possibility. But even if Alice Eve itself is a fabrication,
Yeah.
the stories and the fascination that it generates, it tells us something about our enduring fascination with the unknown, with forbidden knowledge, and with, the power of a good scare.
Right. There's something about a good mystery that just draws us in, makes us want to believe. And speaking of believing, there's this one detail from Hassan's journal that really struck me. He describes Alice Eve not just as a guide to powerful knowledge, but as a prison. What do you make of that?
That's a fascinating point. What if we approach this from like a metaphorical angle?
Okay.
Could Al-Azif represent the inherent dangers of delving into the unknown? What if it's like a cautionary tale, you know, warning us about the potential consequences of seeking forbidden knowledge?
You're saying the more Hassan learned, the more trapped he felt by what he was uncovering.
Exactly. Perhaps the knowledge he gained became a burden, like a prison of his own making.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe he stumbled upon something that he shouldn't have, something that ultimately led to his disappearance.
Okay, chills. Officially sent down my spine. We've got a mysterious book, a vanished poet, a possible connection to an internet hoax, and a whole lot of questions still unanswered. Where do we go from here?
Well, let's delve into the information we have about Al-Azif itself. What do our sources say about the actual contents of this supposed most dangerous book in the world?
Okay, so we're diving into the supposed contents of Al-Azif. What kind of forbidden knowledge are we talking about here? Do our sources give us any specifics, any juicy details about what's actually written within its pages?
Well, that's where things get a bit tricky, you see. The sources we have, they're incredibly vague when it comes to the actual content of the book. It's more about the reputation that precedes it, you know, the whispers and rumors of dark rituals and forbidden knowledge.
So how did this reputation come about? How did this book, potentially a work of fiction, garner such notoriety?
Well, that's the fascinating part. It seems like the book's reputation has grown and evolved over centuries, you know, shaped by this blend of speculation and fear-mongering, and of course the amplifying effect of the internet. Imagine it like a game of telephone where the original message it gets distorted and embellished with each retelling.
So what we're dealing with is a story that's been passed down and reinterpreted across generations, a story that's been influenced by different cultures and beliefs.
Precisely. The idea of a book containing forbidden knowledge, capable of summoning these powerful entities, it's resonated with people across time and across cultures. It taps into our primal fears, our anxieties about the unknown, and the forces that lie beyond our control.
You know, it makes you wonder about the psychology behind it all. Why are we so drawn to these stories of forbidden knowledge, of dark secrets lurking in these ancient texts? Is it the thrill of the unknown, the desire to push the boundaries of what's considered acceptable?
Well, it's a complex question for sure. But I think there's definitely an element of curiosity there, a desire to understand the forces that shape our world, even the dark and potentially dangerous ones. And let's not forget the power of a good story. I mean, we are naturally drawn to narratives that excite our imagination and challenge our understanding of reality.
Yeah. I guess there's also a certain allure to the forbidden, you know, the things that we're told we shouldn't see or know often hold the strongest appeal.
Right.
But getting back to Al-Azif and its supposed connection to jinn,
yeah.
I think it's worth diving a little deeper into the jinn themselves. They seem to be a central figure in this whole mystery.
Absolutely. Understanding the cultural and historical significance of jinn is crucial to grasping the fear and fascination surrounding Al-Azif. As we mentioned earlier, in Islamic tradition, jinns are not simply wish-granting genies.
Right.
They're powerful spiritual beings with their own agency and motivations, capable of both good and evil.
So the idea that this book might contain instructions on how to summon and control these beings would naturally make people uneasy, to say the least.
Exactly, especially considering that jinn, unlike humans, aren't bound by the limitations of the physical world. They represent this force that's both powerful and unpredictable. The idea of wielding that kind of power is both alluring and terrifying.
It's like playing with fire, isn't it? You might think you have control, but in reality, the flames could consume you. But let's not forget, we're still dealing with a lot of speculation here. We still don't have any concrete evidence that Al-Azif is anything more than a clever fabrication.
That's right. But even if the book itself is fictional, the themes it explores are very real. The desire for power, the allure of forbidden knowledge, the potential consequences of delving into the unknown, these are all timeless human concerns that resonate across cultures and historical periods.
Which brings us back to Hassan al-Mansur, the poet who supposedly discovered a copy of this elusive text. Even if Al-Azif is just a story, why would a respected poet like Hassan become so obsessed with it? What do you think drew him to this potentially dangerous path?
That's a question that continues to intrigue me. Perhaps Hassan was a true believer, you know, convinced of the book's authenticity and driven by this thirst for knowledge, no matter the cost. Or maybe he was searching for something more, something that transcended the limitations of his everyday life. Maybe he saw in Al-Azif a way to connect with a deeper, more powerful reality.
It's like he was searching for something beyond the realm of human understanding, something that could offer him a glimpse into the hidden workings of the universe. But then there's that chilling line from his journal, the one where he describes Al-Azif as a prison. What could he have meant by that? Was he warning us about the dangers of seeking forbidden knowledge?
That line is incredibly evocative, isn't it? It suggests that what he found wasn't what he expected. That perhaps the knowledge that he gained, it came at a terrible price.
Like he opened a door he couldn't close. Maybe the deeper he delved into Al-Azif, the more he realized the true nature of what he was dealing with.
Perhaps he uncovered secrets that were meant to remain hidden, knowledge that burdened him with this sense of dread and isolation. Or maybe, and this is where things get really interesting, maybe he stumbled upon something tangible, something that went beyond the realm of myth and legend.
Whoa, hold on. Are you suggesting that maybe, just maybe, Al-Azif could be real after all?
I wouldn't rule out the possibility. You see, even if the book itself doesn't exist in the physical sense, the ideas that it represents, the fears and the desires it embodies, these are very real and very powerful forces.
So maybe Al-Azif is more than just a book. Maybe it's a symbol, a representation of something much larger and more profound. But what exactly does it symbolize? What does it represent, and how does it connect to us, the listeners, in the digital age? I guess that's what we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive. You know, as we've been delving into this mystery of Al-Azif, I can't help but feel like we're getting closer to something bigger than just a spooky story. You know, we've talked about ancient texts and powerful jinn and a vanished poet, but maybe, just maybe, Al-Azif is more than just a book. Could it be like a metaphor for something that exists in all of us?
That's a really thought-provoking question. If we view Al-Azif as a symbol, you know, what could it represent? Perhaps it embodies those darker aspects of human nature, the innate desire for power, the fascination with the forbidden, the allure of the unknown.
So instead of this physical book, we're talking about a potential darkness that resides within each of us. That's pretty intense.
It is. But think about it. Throughout history, humans have been drawn to the mysteries of the universe, to the secrets that lie beyond our immediate understanding. And sometimes that pursuit of knowledge, that thirst for power, it can lead us down some dangerous paths.
I guess that's what makes the Al-Azif legend so compelling. It's not just about this scary book. It's about the choices we make, the paths we choose to follow, and the potential consequences of our actions.
Precisely. It's a cautionary tale reminding us that knowledge can be a double-edged sword. And in today's digital age, where information is so readily available at our fingertips, really, this message is more relevant than ever.
Right. It's like Al-Azif serves as this warning for the dangers of the internet, the allure of these online mysteries, and how easy it is to get lost in the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories. Sometimes I wonder, are we all just a click away from our own metaphorical Al-Azif, our own descent into obsession?
That's a powerful analogy. Think about how much information we consume every day, how many stories we're exposed to online. It's easy to be swept away by the tide, to lose sight of what's real and what's fabricated. We have to be vigilant, discerning in what we choose to believe.
So what can we do? How can we protect ourselves from falling prey to misinformation or becoming consumed by this potentially harmful content?
Well, it all comes down to critical thinking. You, the listener, have the power to question everything that you encounter online. Don't take information at face value, you know. Do your own research, cross-reference your sources, and be wary of anything that seems too sensational or too good to be true.
And I guess it's also about being aware of our own tendencies, our own desires and motivations. What drives us to seek out certain types of information? What are we hoping to find? And most importantly, are we prepared for the consequences of what we might discover?
Those are excellent questions. And as with any good mystery, the answers are often more complex than we initially anticipate. But the process of seeking those answers, of challenging our assumptions and expanding our understanding of the world, that's where the true value lies.
So are you saying that even if Al-Azif is just a story, the act of exploring its themes, dissecting its symbolism, and engaging in critical thinking is a worthwhile endeavor in itself?
Absolutely. Because ultimately, the mystery of Al-Azif isn't about finding a definitive answer. It's about the journey of exploration, the process of questioning and discovery. And that's a journey that each of us can undertake, regardless of whether or not we believe in a physical book called Al-Azif.
Well said. And on that note, we encourage you, our listeners, to continue exploring this enigma of Al-Azif. Dive into the sources, you know, research the legends and share your own interpretations. Who knows, maybe you'll uncover a piece of the puzzle that we missed.
The journey of discovery is often more rewarding than the destination. So embrace the unknown, keep asking questions, and never stop exploring.
That's a wrap on our deep dive into the mystery of Al-Azif. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and keep those minds questioning.